This interview is being conducted for Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium Project Number AN08-NJ7. The interviewer is Sarah Corbin.
James Rowan Sr. is assisting with the interview.
And I'm interviewing James Martinez on April 24th, 2012 at 3:55 in the afternoon at the Klawak Cooperative Association Council Chambers in Klawak, Alaska.
We started out at with Karheen, when I was born in March of 1933. There was only one nurse here, and her name was Margaret. I can remember the first name, but I can't remember the second. But they brought me here when I was born, and this is where I was born, in Klawak. You know, right where the bridge is at now, my grandfather owned a smokehouse there, and that's where I was born, in the smokehouse, in 1933. So, I remember most of what happened. When I start remembering, probably 1935 or 37, someplace in there. Then I remember everything, you know. So I remember. Remember running with my two sisters, Rita and Evelyn, when my grandmother took to raise me, and we were running down Boulevard. They lived across there on Klawak Island, and since then I could remember most of everything that did happen here. I remember everything. I don't remember when they built the Klawak Boulevard, or I don't remember that. It was there when I was born, so it must have been 1920s or someplace in there.
It was already a road when you were born?
Beg your pardon?
Bayview Boulevard was already a road when you were born?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the boardwalk anymore?
Oh, there was gravel on one side, and on one side was a boardwalk.
Oh. You know,
and going from Boulevard to Klawak, the island there where the bridge is at, well, that was all boardwalk there, so it was...
Were the gravel and the boardwalk side by side, or the gravel was in one part of town and the boardwalk was in one part?
No, they made a walkway, you know, boardwalk, and the gravel road, they told me that they built, my father told me, Peter Dick told me, he said they built that by wheelbarrow gravel. And I do know that there was some places they had that side boardwalk where the people walked, and I don't know why they built the boulevard with gravel, because there was no trucks or anything then, you know, or any cars in town. You're probably looking toward the future, I think. So, anyway, that's all I remembered about the bull, the walk. But I do remember all the people that lived along the roads there, you know.
Can you tell me about them? I have a map here that is from 1965.
Yeah.
And it's... maybe not all the houses that you remember being there would be there, but you can draw on it with this blue marker and tell me about who lived where. And if I might actually videotape. Do you mind if I video while you talk about who lived where?
No.
So, you want to point out anybody that you remember living along Bayview Boulevard?
This was built a long time ago.
Yeah, this picture, I think, is from 1982.
Yeah.
And that one is from 1965.
Well, then.
The island's over here. And then there's Sand Point.
Oh, yeah, this is where the bridge is at.
Mm-hmm.
This is where my grandfather had the smokehouse right there. And I remember these roads here, and alongside these roads, if I remember correctly, it was boardwalk or boardwalks along the side of the road till you got the Bob Show Hall, which was right. This was Bob's Show Hall. There was no houses here. But if I remember right, this was all empty until they built the Russell's place. And here was first house on the left-hand side of the road was Nick Pradovich's house. You come up here, and if I remember right, there was no houses here. This is Bob Show Hall. And up here was Peter King's, right above the show hall. And up here was on the Church Street, I think it is, I can't remember her name. But down here on the left-hand corner was my grandmother's brother, Billy Gunya. His house was here. And the church was up here. This was Bob Pradovich Jr.'s house. This was Bob Sr.'s house. David Pradovich's house. And Rose Joseph's house was here. And on the corner, I can't remember. It'll come to me, but down here was you'll come to me. This was Kluwak City Hall at the time. And up here was A&B Hall, Filipino bunkhouse. Bob Pradovich's, Frank Pradovich's store. And that was his light plant here to keep his refrigerators going. And over here was, name's right at the end of my tongue and I can't spit it out.
It might come back to you.
And here was George Dimmert's house. This is Sand Point store. And this is Well, at the time that I remembered it, this Peter Adams was living there. On the left-hand side, yet is Yuneshu, what the heck's his name? Jim Jacobs. And up here was where Leonard Cato and them lived. And here, I can't remember who lived there, but this house on the right-hand side was Charlie Grand, and this place was where Jim Johnson had his boat building shop. That's where the Billy and I was built too.
At Jim Johnson's?
Yeah. Oh, I remember who lived there now. Fred Aniskit. No, George Aniskit. This was Jim Johnson's house. Right above it was his grandmother's house. Until the later on, but keep going down. This was right in here was Bob Smith, Smith's house. Next to it was Paul, can't remember his last name, Paul something. And over here was Woods' house. Oh, this is Woods' house. And on this side, there's nobody's. Well, this is the big house. The map's so this small. Anyway, this is Paul Davis's house was here. And or it was the Smith's house. And over here was Paul. And over here was Woods' house, and this I can't remember who lived there, but here, this last one, where this one was Spencer Williams' house. And this was Wood's house, but the Bowling Alley was here, or this is the Bowling Alley. I can't remember what was there.
Maybe, I think someone told me that that might have been the Bowling Alley and that one was the sawmill. No. Does that make sense?
This is the Bowling Alley.
Oh, yeah.
No, take that back. You're right. This is the Bowling Alley. This was the sawmill right here. And right above it was, what's his name? Saul's, anyway, geez, this was a long time ago. This on the going up the hill toward the park. This was Jim McNeil's house. Then come to the Y. And right here should be another house, which would be Fred Aniskit. And over here is can't remember his name. And over here was Boy, I got the names, but I can't spit them out.
That's all right, you're doing well.
Hollywood, Tom Hollywood's house. And here was the big house. And down here was all the cannery houses that worked at the cannery at the time.
Were they built on stilts out on the, over the beach?
Yeah, there on the left-hand side was the cannery's house. And these were the cannery's house. This was the bomb shelter.
That's what somebody else called it. What was the bomb shelter?
Huh?
Someone else told me that was the bomb shelter.
Yeah.
But what was the bomb shelter?
Well,
can
this
you tell
was
me about
built
it?
In the 40s, right after the war.
Mm-hmm.
We had home guards here that patrolled the streets and made sure that there wasn't any light showing during the night.
Oh.
Because that was when the war was, when they attacked at with Attu. They were afraid they were going to come down here and start bombing us too, you know. So that was the reason why they had the home guards.
Here.
Oh, there were home guards.
People from Kowok lived here.
Yeah.
So was the bomb shelter built for people of Kowok to go to?
If they start bombing here, then everybody would go up here.
What was it made out of?
It was all log buildings. Because I remember going inside and along on the inside there was benches to sit, you know. So that's what I remember. And on the right-hand side was the A&B Hall and Brown's house. And on this side there was another house, which was Mary Brown lived up here. Mary Brown, her family, her mother and father. I can't remember that guy's name, but then across the street from that was Fred Thomas' house. And this was Martinez's house. This is where they lived. He moved across from over here. In fact, this was I didn't know you had that. This was where I lived. This is where I grew up.
When you were a boy, you grew up on this side?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this was a schoolhouse. We had to row across there every day during school days. But this was Martinez's house. It belonged to Benson first. I can't remember. Benson was his last name. And this was all this property here belonged to Sandpoint. And out here on this side was the cannery, West Coast Packing Company, which was owned by Bob Pradovich. He rented out to Bob Bushman in the 50s. This was Leonard Cato's house, and I can't remember who lived here. This was the totem pole, where they built the totem poles.
Oh.
All these totem poles were built here and here. They carved out the totem poles here and here. The totem poles that they brought in were from Karheen, Chican, and all them places out there. These were all replicas of them. The last one, I remember them standing on the totem pole park was this one here. That was the last one.
Do you remember people living and carrying out their daily activities along Bayview Boulevard and on the beach, and what sort of activities people would do?
There was no activities. Only activities took place up here at where the school ground was. And over here on this side was the first gym that they built. This was in the 30s. Because I remember sitting in that. I don't know how old I was, but I remember them playing basketball there. But it was after this was burnt down that they built the A&B Hall so that the native people could meet. And this is where the other activities took place. Town meetings and basketball and home league and all that stuff, you know, they all took place down here and in the church up here.
Well, did people do anything along the beach?
Oh no, everything was done on the inland, except when you catch fish, you pack it up, you clean it on the beach, and you pack it home.
How about other things like drying seaweed? Do you ever remember people drying seaweed on the beach?
All seaweed was, because in May they'd go out and get seaweed, and you dry it on the rocks out there where you get it. The way I remember them doing the seaweed is they dry half of it on the rock, then gather it up and take it and put it in a dry, cool, dark, dry, cool place and leave it for about 3 days, and then take it back out and dry the rest of it. That way it had it tastes a lot better. Nowadays they dry it all up in one day and doesn't have not very much taste, you know. I even do that now, you know. When I get seaweed, I take it up and dry half of it and put it back in a bag and put it in a dry, cool place. Then after about 3 days, I take it back out and spread it out. And it's got the same taste I remember a long time ago, you know. So,
why is May the month for seaweed?
Hmm?
Why is May the month to get seaweed? Is it not
if
around?
I remember right, everything had its time. Seaweed. And probably May, June and July was sockeye, halibut, because we used to go out the hole in the wall and dry all that. And then in the summertime was the 25th of July was when they opened up fishing season. That's when you had to make money. And some of our families came in to work in the canneries to make money, you know, pre-season work. And that was about the way I remembered. And then September and October was dog salmon. They hard dried it. That's what they call nayeti, you know. You dry it, and then it's hard dried, when you're ready to eat it, you put it in the gunny sack and take it down some beach and put it in water and let it soak. Then it was ready to eat. So that's the way I remember everything that happened, you know. Of course, I remember since I'm 79 now. So,
what came after the sockeye and the dogs? What did you collect next?
May was the time. May, June was the month that June was sockeye berries. You know, they picked berries and jarred it for the winter. And they put up smoked sockeye, canned smoked sockeye, and plain smoked sockeye. But humpies, they dried them for the winter. And it wasn't like the, it was kind of hard dried, but the reason why they keep it all winter and you didn't have to do nothing special to that except put it away is because it's not oily. You know, it doesn't, like sockeye, if you put up sockeye and smoke it like you do the humpies, it gets rancid because of too much oil in it, you know. So humpies was the most you catch probably about 200. 150, you know. We ate a lot of fish in my time of growing up, you know. Because summertime you bought all your staple food, rice, sugar, flour, coffee, and all, everything that you needed. But the rest was all fish, deer meat, and then September, October, you started hunting for deer. September and October. The people frowned on you when you, if you killed deer, especially a well, they killed both. They killed the male and the female. But if you done that in November after they start breeding, that was a no-no. You know, you don't kill them female after November. And if you see a deer running around in June that has a little one, you don't kill that one either, because that's a no-no, because she's raising that little one, you know. That's the way our people looked at it, you know. I think they done better conservation than the fish and wildlife now, you know. So that's all I remember. I could name all the people that lived all along here. Yeah.
So when you were little and you lived on the other side, how often did you come over here? Just for school, or did you come over every day anyway?
I'd come over all the time. We had boats, we'd row across, come play with our friends.
Pardon me.
Yeah, come play with our friends and... this is Martina's house, Ashton house, Mary Ashton. There were two Bills. Bill McDonald lived in the last house, and all these houses here were Chinaman houses that were there.
Did they live there?
Yeah, they worked in the cannery over here. They built cans, and in them days, there was no pre-made cans. They had to make them there. We used to find sheets of tin across there where they cut the cans out and they make them themselves.
Did the Chinese workers live there all year or only in the summer?
Only in the summer. I remember the cannery standing here, and I remember this was when I remembered the Chinese were already gone, you know. The houses were there, the cannery was there. This was back in 1938, 39.
Was that the Libby McNeil and Libby cannery?
That was, I can't remember the name of the cannery. No, I can't remember the name of the cannery, but we found packages of their, what they wrap around the cans. We used to make airplanes out of them, you know, and, that's all I remember about that, but anyway, up here in the bay was all smokehouses. My grandfather had a smokehouse where the sawmill's at now. You know, my grandfather owned a smokehouse there too. Of course, this smokehouse where which I was born in, was the kind of place where he lived, you know.
He lived where his smokehouse was on the island?
See, both my mother was from Taku River. I'm Indiana, you know, from the interior, and that's where my mother came from. My dad, his family is the Gunya family, which migrated down from across from Angoon. You know, the migrated down here, and Billy Gunya was Alice Martinez's brother. So all my relatives are the Gunyas, you know. My grandfather that first married Alice Martinez, you know, I could never pin down where he came from. He either came from Huna or Yakutat. There's dicks living in both places.
Are you working till 5?
No. So when you came over as a kid to make trips across in your rowboat, did you come and play with other kids? Or?
Yeah, I came and played. Leonard Cato was my best friend. He died. He was him and Jimmy Rohn, his uncle. We grew up together.
And
we played basketball together. And but I came across here, and when they moved to Craig, he became the foreman of Libby McNeil and Libby Martinez did, and when he'd done that, I wanted to come back to Kauai. So because my mother and father were drinking so much that my grandmother took me away from him. And I moved back with my really folks, you know. And we lived on the island over here. Right there. But then I started going to PIA school, you know. Went to the BIA school up until I left, you know.
Was that the school up at the top of the hill?
Yeah, the BIA school was right here, right at the end of the road, this road here. Oh, this was Jumbo McPhee's house.
Oh.
Jumbo McPhee was a blind man, but he was a powerful man. I seen him when I was walking by one time. He was talking to somebody, and we were looking, and his boat, he just brought his boat up to the beach, you know. He got off, and he grabbed that boat, started walking with it, he pulled it almost all the way out of water. That guy was powerful. I'll never forget him. Yeah.
Do you remember any part of Bayview Boulevard being built or rebuilt?
Any of it rebuilt?
Yeah, or the water or sewer lines being put in. Do you remember that?
No. Nothing was rebuilt in this picture. This was here, the show hall. This is where William Joseph lived.
Do you remember any stories about Sand Point?
No, it's been there. It's sold beer there. I know that. This was way back when I was a little kid. They gave me a quarter. I remember that. I said, go down to that store and tell them to give you, fill it up, you know. I didn't know what it was. I went there, put the quarter up, and told them, they said, fill it up, you know. I talked to them in Clinkets, you know. And they filled it up and I packed it home, gave it to them. They gave me a nickel. I remember going down to the show hall. This show hall was a store and a show hall. So I'd go there and get a nickel ice cream cone.
What kinds of things, what other kinds of things could you buy at the stores?
Oh, they had everything. They had canned goods and fresh fruit in the summertime. And that's when I used to like to go in there. You could smell all that fruit.
Do you remember the boats coming in and dropping off the groceries for the stores?
Oh yeah, every Thursday night or someplace in the week, Thursday I think it used to be, the mailboat used to come in. That's where they loaded all the stuff. That was about it, the mailboat. I believe the name of that boat was Fairbanks.
Fairbanks?
Huh?
The Fairbanks?
Yeah, the name of the boat. I'm pretty sure that was what it was. Because we used to go down there, watch them unload, you know. And this is where they unloaded that. It wasn't but 40 feet across, was Bob's cannery. Went all the way this way and went here.
Can you draw that on the map for me, please? And that's a big wharf down to his store?
Yeah, and then this one went, there was another boardwalk from here, went to here. This was the cannery here. It's where he unloaded fish. And over here is where they had, that where the docks were, where the boats tied up. And right here was the fish elevator. That's how I remembered it.
Do you ever remember playing on the beaches or under the boardwalks?
Oh yeah, this was all boardwalk here when we moved over here. From here, all the way over here was a boardwalk.
And what's the name of that, of the island?
Yeah, this was the island. But like I say, on the side there was a boardwalk. I don't think there was any wider than 2 foot where people walked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest was, I remember there was gravel there, you know, because I remember that. That's about it, you know.
Did you ever find anything when you were young, like beads or things around in the yards or on the beach?
I remember a lot of, what is that one?
This one, that I think that might, is this the
that
cannery
the
and the
cannery,
docks?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Bob's cannery there?
Yeah. That's Bob Bradley's cannery, no? No, I never paid many much attention to beads. Oh, I remember Sukuna lived here. Now this was a show hall. Frank Pradovich, Jumbo McPhee, George Demersal's Black Sand Point, or the store there. And this is where the dock was. And right here, I remember right, they built a dock here.
And that looks like maybe those are still boardwalks over on the island, is
yeah,
that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's boardwalk here. And there was boardwalk here.
Mm.
That was boardwalk up to there. If I remember right, this is Samvish Charmy Hall, where this was where the heck am I? What the heck's his name? Used to be here. He was the one that found Klawak or started living here. He used to trap wolves.
Kida?
Huh?
Was it Kida?
No. Kida came in after this guy did. But Kida's trying to claim that they're the ones that settled here, and it wasn't. It was, like I say, it's not right there. But
So the people who first settled here, when was that?
When was that? Geez, that was way before my time.
Do you remember any stories about that?
He used to trap wolves. I knew all the Kidas. But they claimed a lot of stuff. They claimed some at the heck of the island, which in the 30s, when I was growing up in Karheen, we used to go across and visit the Demards at their garden. I remember where their garden was, and, you know. I lived in Chican when there were still houses there. I lived at Karheen when there were still houses there. And I remember remember going across and visiting the Demards. It was George Demert. See, there's George Demert and the Demerts that live up here that own the cannery. What was his name? Charlie Demert.
Charlie, yeah.
Charlie Demert. They're the ones that got this cannery in. Say back in 1924, and this place and the one next door, they towed them in the late 40s, and they lift them up. Charlie Demert was good at that. You're making me reach way back.
So you think the first people who came to Klawak were trapping wolves near here?
Yeah, I got Philip Darrow. John Darrow was his name.
Yeah.
John Darrow lived here. And then this was the post office and a bakery there. And over here was the Salvation Army Hall. This is the old Salvation Army Hall. Right across the street was, on the boardwalk, was Shkane's house. That's where I lived. And up here was Peter Adams' house and George Charles's house. This was Scan House. Roy Williams' house is here. And This was James Jackson's house. I can't remember which was there, but over here was Dowhit's house.
This looks like a boathouse. Is that a boathouse?
Yeah, that's James Johnson, one of the founding fathers of A&B. That was his, it's where they built the J.H. Combs and I believe the Rex. And in the 1940s, it was the Billy and I believe was the last boat that came out of there. And the Demers built that, so. This was Leonard Cato's house. James Johnson house is over here. And up here in this corner was where they built that that place where they fixed the totem poles. Fixed the totem poles right here. And over here used to be the school gym or the city gym. It's the A&B Hall. And you could see the tower there. That was the city hall. Teachers, places where they lived.
Yeah, I'm not sure, I can't remember when this picture is from, but I have a few more in here that you might think are interesting. From the water.
That was Archie Demers' house. This was over here was Woodmark's house. And this I don't ever recall that there. Oh, I know what this was. This was the store that store on the float that they had. They towed it out to Hole in the Wall, and that's where they sold their groceries at Hole in the Wall.
A floating store, huh?
Mm-hmm. And this, after a while, they built that plane. Remember, right? First time I seen a plane, Bob Bellis flew it in. He landed on the beach here.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a small pontoon plane.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was across here.
A few of them are copies, but there's another one.
Yeah, that's Bob Scholl. I remember when they built started building that was during the CC, Conservation Corps.
When they started building what?
The Toten Park.
Yes.
Because I remember I was sitting on the steps at the house across the bay here. It was in the early morning. I can't remember what year it was. That was before I went to school. And anyway, I was sitting there and pretty soon I heard boom, boy. I looked up and I said, somebody's bombing us. I told him, I said, they're shooting across there. My mother told me they're dynamiting the stumps. That was built by wheelbarrows and gravel. Yeah. Well, I wish I was back in them times. This is where my grandfather's smokehouse was, right there on that point.
How big was his smokehouse?
I don't know. Looked big, yeah, I mean. I seen it, it wasn't that big. It was, they did have I remember they had a gravel in the middle with sides on there. That's where the fire was, and they, up above, I could remember that they had a little house where the smoke goes out. But that's where they smoked fish too, you know, so. I keep saying they hung me for a little while and they browned me up a little bit.
Why did he have a smokehouse on the island and a smokehouse at the head of the bay?
I don't know. Guess my grandfather didn't like rowing across all the way over again. I'm not sure why he built it there. But that's all I could remember.
Do you remember when the houses got water and sewer put in?
No, I don't remember that. I'm a logger. I left home because there's no work here, you know. In wintertime, all you did was walk around and nothing to do, and no money, you know. So I started logging, you know. I got to love the life, you know. Outside all the time, and I loved outside anyway, you know. So I logged for about 37, 36 years, you know. Almost got killed about three times, but, you know, kept going back. It was good money, you know. First logging job I had, I made a lot of money, $2.60 an hour.
Wow. So you didn't live in Klawak?
Huh?
You didn't live always in Klawak year-round as an adult?
Oh, I'd come back. I mean, you know, I'd go logging and stay in Ketchikan for a while and then come home. Yeah. And then that was about it. Everything that I could remember, you know. Yeah, this school, it had a lot of memories for me.
Yeah.
They used to plant the strawberries right here, strawberries and stuff. Little kid, we used to raid it.
The teacher
would come out and yell at us.
Did the teachers plant the strawberries?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much. You've answered all of my questions and then some. It's been very helpful. Is there anything else that you think I should know or anything else you want to share with me?
No.
No.
I don't remember anything else. I was the one that built the roads here.
You built the road around?
I was the one that cut the right-of-way for this road back, what was it, the 80s,
mm-hmm.
when they built the road. I was the one that cut it, me, Dewey Scan, and Marvin George.
Yeah, I have more pictures from different years. Let's see, this one is from 2004. That's 1971.
Yeah, this is where I done the right of way, all the way around to here.
Mm-hmm. blurry, but it's from, that's actually from 1926. 1989. So you must have come through before 1989.
Yeah. I built all the way up to here, too. Up the hill. I've done all the roads around my BIA. Hired me to me as lead man and do a scan and Marvin George. We were the ones that done the. They said I was supposed to be done September, October. Said I was supposed to be done about October 11th, someplace in there. But I finished up in September, and boy, they were, you know, Boston didn't like it. You know? I don't know what's the matter with them. They should have been happy I got done with it early. They weren't. That's federal government, I guess. Asking if you can take me someplace else? No, no. You're done here.
Oh. Well.
Of course, Frank Pradovich was the one that put a stop to that, you know.
Because it was a reservation, right?
No, they were. I think they were talking about it. They put a stop to that. Because I remember when I was logging in Thorn Bay, we'd go across to the other side, and we're standing on a hill once, and I looked down and I could see the water. A lot of good trees there. I said, hey, how come we don't log that too? They said, we can't touch it because it belongs to the natives. That's what he said. I thought, oh, I never heard about it. You know, until I came back and started talking to some of the people, and I found out that the people claimed all that land. It was Wolf Clan that claimed that from Stony Creek out to Carheen, where they got that logging camp at now. So it's too bad I wasn't around then or old enough. I'd probably be scrapping for what belonged to us, you know. Because this is all clan land, you know, including Echida Island, you know. I remember living in Carheen. I remember living in Chican, you know. We were going out, I guess I was about 5 years old at that time. We were going to go out, and Martinez was going to take us back out to put up deer meat and stuff, you know. And the U.S. Marshal came across and handed him a piece of paper and said, you guys could go, but these kids got to stay and go to school. Then when I went to school, I remember standing in the corner with Hayes DeWitt, my partner. We're talking Tlingit. They grabbed us by the ear. They pulled it really hard and took us into the principal's office. And I was crying because I didn't know what I'd done wrong, you know. We were just drinking water, you know. And I think Margaret Tillman was the one that came in. I remember think it was Margaret Tillman. They told her to tell us we were not allowed to speak Tlingit on the school ground. Boy, I was scared. I remember I went home and I told my mother in Tlingit that I said, I remember telling her in Tlingit, I said, they don't want us to talk Tlingit on school ground. I said, why, you know? She told me, she said, you know, you're going to grow up in this world and everybody talk English. You better start learning to talk English because you're going to be out among them. You know. Anyway, Haynes and I would go to school and there, right across from the school, there's brushes there right here. Sandberry brushes. We'd go in there and we'd sit down, we'd talk Tlingit. We were getting away with something. I'll never forget that. We were always watching the school teacher, make sure they didn't catch us. We were getting away with something. I'll never forget that. But that's the way it was. I learned to speak English and I finished up my schooling in Tacoma, Washington, Clover Park High School. Graduated from there. Then I thought that's all I needed. Pretty soon some people wanted, you go to college, and I told them no, and they write it down. I wouldn't get the job. So I decided, well, I think I'd go to college. So I went to Seattle Central Community College. I went there for about, I went in September, in October, or in May. I was sitting in class and I was looking out the window. Nothing but blue sky, and I thought to myself, what am I doing in here anyway, you know? I quit. I went and told the principal I'm going back up to, my teacher, I was going back up to Alaska. I came back up here and started logging. Never went back. Never looked back either. But I completed the course up there, you know, so at least I got something that says I've completed the course in college. Anyway, that's all I remember in my life in this town. I wish it could all go back, but it can't. Okay.
Kind of a blast from the past.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a Coast Guard icebreaker came in here. Because I remember the guys used to be cutting ice around their boat. So it was thick. You know, the Coast Guard came in and broke it up around the boats, then it left, you know. But it was cold, the ice was thick, you know. I used to skate from my home to the beach here and take them all my skates off and go to school. They took my skates away from me because when I'd get down there, I'd skate all the way up around and play around, and I'd be late for school. So they took my skates away from me. Yeah.
When did it stop icing up in the bay?
Huh?
When did it stop icing up in the bay? How many years ago?
Jesus, in the 50s? Some years it ice up. Some years it won't, you know. But this place was iced up all the time. This place.
Up by the, between the island and the...
Yeah.
And the canneries at Sandpoint.
We used to skate around down here. And up here. Up on this side. The bay up there.
Hmm.
We used to skate there. Okay, that's all I could remember.
Well, thank you very much.